Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning, good morning. So glad you guys are here. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. And, man, I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us in the room. Thank you if you're joining us online. Wrapping up our series, Table Talk, today. I want to begin with a story. And you're going to love the story because it's about you. Once upon a time, there was a chair. And it was a chair at Wellspring's table. And you didn't know it, but the chair had your name on it. You didn't know that you'd had some friends or a family member. Somebody was praying for you. And they had invited you to church a few times, and something happened, and you finally said yes. Now, it probably wasn't the first time they invited you or the second. Statistics tell us it probably took them about 6 times before you said yes. But something happened, and you were like, man, whatever it takes to shut them up, I will go with them to that church. They did promise me lunch afterwards, and they're buying lunch. And so, for whatever reason, you woke up on a Sunday morning, and you did decide to come, either here or to one of our previous locations. You turned in the parking lot, and it was either really crowded, and you didn't like that, or it was empty, and you didn't like that either. But there was, you know, somebody out there, and there were some signs. You knew where to park. And as you made your way in, you were overwhelmed because, like, the people were nice to you, like, a little too nice. Like, what's going on? Why is everybody talking to me? And you made your way into the auditorium, wherever that was, and you found a seat. And again, either it was, like, too many people and you didn't have elbow room, or not enough people and you were nervous. But the music started. The first thing you noticed was it was loud. Like, it was real loud. Like, it was too loud for you. But it was fine, so you kind of went through the motions of the song. And then kind of during the singing, you noticed some people down front kept raising their hand like they had a question. It frustrated you that no one ever answered their questions. But you got through the music, and then the sermon started, and, you know, it wasn't anything special. But at least you did, like, understand it, you know, and you kind of walked. When it was over, you were like, okay, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to do that, but I know what to do if I wanted to do that. And then you looked at your watch, and you're like, man, that was like an hour, hour five. That's not bad at all. And like, church was over. You know, you're like, man, I thought it was going to be my whole day. And so, you know, you get in your car, and you leave, and you kind of struggled because you're like, man, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Like, the people were super nice, and that music was kind of catchy, you know, kind of got used to it. And, man, that sermon, like, at least I knew what to do. And so you went home. And you thought you were done. You're like, okay, I went. I checked the box. But then something happened. You thought maybe the next Sunday you might want to come back. Or maybe your spouse wanted to come back. Or maybe you made the big mistake. Maybe you brought your kids the first time with you. That's our secret sauce. Sorry. We do that on purpose. Your kids had an amazing time. And then Sunday morning rolls around. And who can look at their kids and say, no, honey, I won't take you to church. And so either the next week or the week after that, or the week after that, you came back. And you began to sit in your seat. For some of you, I know that's literal. You think you have your own seat here. You don't. But you kept coming back. And you kept coming back. And the strangest thing happened. You started to like it. You started to sing the songs. You started to apply the teachings. You started to try some of the stuff in your life, and it worked. And if you're married, you look at your spouse, you'd be like, can you believe that worked? And you're like, I know. And then you did something you never thought you'd do. You took a step. You signed up to serve in some capacity, or you joined a group. Maybe you gave a little money. And before you knew it, Wellspring was no longer that church. Wellspring was your church. And Jesus began to change your life. And you discovered, man, life really is better with Jesus. Now, if that's you, everything we have been talking about for the last 5 weeks was for you. Everything we've done as a church, every way we've organized ourselves, all of it was so that that moment could take place in your life. So that you could find the chair at our table with your name on it. And as we wrap up this series, one, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being a part of our church. I want to thank you for discovering that Jesus really is who he says he is. You still had to make the choice. You had to step. You had to walk in faith, and that is a scary step to take. And as your pastor, I want you to know, I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you stepped out of your comfort zone, that you tested, and you could see that God really was good. And I'm so happy that he's changing your life. As we wrap the series, I want us to begin to look forward. And I just want to point out a very simple truth. There are a lot of chairs at our table. And I believe you have friends and family and neighbors and coworkers who have a seat at our table as well. Their name is on a chair, and they don't know it yet. And I believe that the God of the universe wants to use you to help them find their seat. That is what I want to talk about today as we wrap up Table Talk. If you missed any of our series, man, I highly encourage you, if you don't have it already, grab our app. Great way to stay connected, but also you can go back. You can see what we've been talking about the last few weeks, because this series has been about the vision of our church. We talk about it every single week. Our vision is to create a church that unchurched people love to attend, just like you did. You came back before you believed what we believed, and it changed your life. And so we do a couple of things. We've been talking for a few weeks about how we actually want to create a place that unchurched people love to attend. When we gather together, it's a place. We want to invite people to this place. But last week, we pivoted. And we talked about how we've got to become a people that unchurched people love to be around. And the key to that, as we learned last week, is to begin to ask Jesus to help us love who he loves, which is everyone. To take away our qualifications, to take away our limitations, and just to simply begin to bring and to show the love Jesus showed us to everyone in our lives. And that's what we're going to pick up today, because what I want to talk about today is what I believe is the most loving thing we can do for people in our lives. For people who are struggling, for people who are hurting, for people who are wondering, for people who are lost, for people who need help. The most loving thing I can do, you can do, any of us can do for those people is to do whatever it takes to help them find their seat at God's table. Just like someone did for you. And so for us, that comes down to a saying we have around here. It's not a core value, but it's something we say all the time. And it's a mindset. I'm going to invite every one of us in the room, everyone who calls Wellspring home, but specifically, if that story I just told is your story, you know this works. You know this is better. And so my encouragement to all of us today, whether you consider yourself a Wellspringer, maybe it's your very first time. Maybe you're still checking out the things of God. Fantastic. I'm so glad you're here. This is how much God loves you. And this is the best place you can be to discover who he is. Here's my challenge for all of us today, is that we adopt a simple mind frame, a simple thought about the people in our lives that do not know Jesus, that do not have their seat at the table yet. that we love them, we pray for them, we do everything we can to serve them and help them, but we always know in the back of our minds, the best thing for them is to connect them to the church. The best thing for them is to connect them through Jesus, through his local expression. And because that's true, we have a saying, I hope you'll adopt it, and it's this. We bring because that's what's best. We bring. We bring people with us to church. Now, please hear me. If you were here this summer, we did a sermon all about how you have all you need to talk about Jesus with your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers completely by yourself. You don't need me. You don't need our staff. You don't need a building. You don't need music. You don't need anything. You are fully equipped to talk about Jesus. You are fully equipped to share Jesus. You are fully equipped to lead someone to Jesus. You can do that on your own. You are fully equipped to do that. You are not fully equipped to be the church. You're not. And you're not supposed to be. We are the church. We are the body of Christ that meets as Wellspring Church. And where you are limited personally, God's church is equipped to help any person with any struggle, to help connect them with the answers, to help them find any clarity and guidance that they need. We're equipped to help pregnant moms. We're equipped to help parents of preschoolers. We're equipped to help parents of teenagers. We're equipped to help empty nesters. We're equipped to help single people. We're equipped to help married people. We're equipped to help divorced people. Do you want to have all those qualifications? No. And you're not supposed to. Our job as Christ followers is to bring people to a house of faith, is to bring people to help them connect to the community we've connected with, because it is that community that God uses to equip them to become the men and women that he wants them to be. We bring them to Jesus. And this isn't new. This is what took place every day of Jesus' three-year ministry. In fact, I want to take you to a teaching very quickly from the book of Mark. Matthew, Mark. Mark is the second book we have in our New Testament. Mark was a really young kid when Jesus was on the earth. We believe he was really good friends with a guy named Simon Peter, who was one of Jesus' best friends. And so his entire account either comes because Mark was hanging out with his buddy Simon Peter, or Simon Peter told him these stories. And if you've ever heard anything about Jesus, you've probably heard about the time he fed 5,000 people with five loaves of fish and loaves of bread and two fish. I got it. I got it the second time. I got there. She was praying for me. She was like, you'll get it, baby. You'll get it. Five loaves, two fish. And then he walked on water that night. Have you ever heard that story? This picks up immediately after those two events. He was walking on water because they were on a boat. They were crossing the Sea of Galilee. And here's what Mark tells us. He says, after they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. And they brought the boat to shore and climbed out. I only read that to let you know, no one knew they were coming. They didn't tweet out their location. They didn't send somebody around. Like, no one knew that they were about to show up. They just got in a boat, other side of the lake, and I want you to watch what happened. The people recognized Jesus at once. And they ran throughout the whole area carrying sick people on mats to wherever they heard he was. That is the heartbeat of our church. These people recognized Jesus. They knew he could help. They went and got their friends that needed help, and they brought them to Jesus. The last 4 weeks, we've talked about setting a table. We've talked about creating irresistible environments. We've talked about presenting the best picture possible. You know why? Because we want people to recognize that Jesus is here. It is not about me. It is not about our band. It is not about our children's environments. It is not about our student environments. It is about doing whatever it takes to help people recognize Jesus is here. Because people who know Jesus, people who have followed Jesus, when they recognize Jesus, they instinctively know, oh, good, he can help. Because he helped me. And what we sometimes don't connect the dots on, or what I'm trying to help us do today, is he helped me, and now he wants to move through me to help the world around me. He doesn't want it to stop with me. That's why we believe this simple statement. We bring because that's what's best. We know Jesus helped because he helped us. And so when we have friends or family or neighbors or coworkers that desperately need the help we have, what do we think? What do? We bring. We bring them to Jesus. Why? Because we know he can help. This characterized Jesus' three-year ministry. I know this because Mark now steps out of the story. Mark did this often. He would step out of the story and kind of give us some commentary. So he just gave us this one picture of showing up in this town and people showing up. And then Mark steps out of the story and he tells us this. He says, wherever he went, wherever Jesus went, wherever he was, in villages, cities, or the countryside, wherever Jesus went, look at that, they brought. Wherever they found Jesus, wherever they could see Jesus, wherever they knew he was, they instinctively understood help is there, and they brought. They brought the sick out to the marketplaces. They brought them out just hoping that they would have an encounter with Jesus. Watch this. And they begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. You know what that means? They prayed to Jesus on behalf of their friends. They talked to Jesus. It wasn't just to bring, it was Jesus, please help him. Jesus, I'm going to do whatever I can to get him here. But they understood they could bring, they couldn't help. They could bring, they couldn't heal. They could bring, they couldn't fix. May I humbly suggest that we as a people put our bringing hat on and take our fixing hat off. Because I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time trying to fix things, trying to fix people that I'm not equipped to fix. It'd be way better if I prayed for them and brought them. Jesus, I can't do a thing with these people, but how about you? And I don't want you to miss what Mark promises. Look at this. And all touched him were healed. Not some, not most, all who sought Jesus' help received it. Most of us in the room, we know that. We experienced it. Probably because somebody brought us and someone prayed for us. And so what Jesus is inviting us to do is to participate in his story and to decide this is true. We bring because that's what's best. Because what do you think would happen if we decided this was true? What if we made Jesus and his church our first option rather than our last resort? What if we acted like there was supernatural, life-changing power here? That we could introduce them to a God so loving he gave his life and a God so powerful he could raise the dead? And oh, by the way, he knows the future. And all he wants is to give our friends, our family, our neighbors, and our coworkers the best life possible, the life he created them to live. What happened? I bet there'd be a little less hurt in Horry County. And I bet there'd be a lot more hope. And here's the thing. We don't have to guess. We know. We've lived it. We know it works. We just simply have to change the way we think about how we help other people. We bring because that's what's best. So, here's a question for you. You may already be thinking it. But I believe God's Holy Spirit will give you an answer today. Here's the question. Who can you help find their chair at God's table? This one right here. It has their name on it. I don't know who. but a friend, a family member, a neighbor, a coworker. God may be bringing someone to mind right now. Maybe bringing several people to mind. The question is, what are we going to do with the people he's bringing to mind? Pray for them, yes. But see, I believe God wants us to take another step. I believe he wants to invite. I believe he wants us to bring. If need be, bribe. Some of you were bribed to come to church. I know you were. I teach our people, buy them lunch. Tell them you'll buy them lunch if they'll come to church. And I hope you got that lunch. But who can you help? Who's in your circle? Who's in your sphere? You know how you really want to know who it is? Who do you think about the most? Who needs the most help? Who are you worried about? Who do you talk to other people about? And not in a gossipy way, like in a real, like, man, I don't know what to do. What if God wants to use you to help them find their chair at his table? That chair with their name on it. See, some of you may have names. Some of you may not. Or you may be like me, because I'm the pastor here, and it gets a little weird. Just being honest, for me to invite people to church for a couple of reasons. One, I'm inviting them to come hear me speak, which is weird. Let's just say that. It's weird. Hey, you should come to this church. Pastor is fantastic. Wait, aren't you the pastor? I don't know. Come find out. That's just weird. And also, here's the deal. Because I'm the pastor, I know. Okay, well, we're in week 2 of the series, and this series is good, but you know what? Next month, we're starting a new series. That'd be perfect for them. So, hey, how would you like to come to church 4 weeks from now? But a couple years ago, I learned something from another pastor that I'm going to share with you guys, and it's really helpful. It's helpful because it keeps our eyes and our hearts open to when God might be giving us an opportunity to invite, might be giving us an opportunity to bring someone with us. And so if you don't have names, but you're open to the idea of inviting, open to the idea of bringing your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers, I want to walk you through really quickly what we call the three little knots. And what these are cues. These are cues that when you hear someone say one of these three things or a variation of it, you just decide in your spirit, when that happens, it's going to be an indication, and I'm inviting that person to church. Just decide it. Just decide in advance and try it. You're going to be super nervous about it, because what are they going to think about me if I invite them to church? But then remember, someone invited you to church, and it changed your life. So begin to listen for these three little knots. Knot number one, not in church. This is a layup. This is an easy one. When you meet somebody and they're like, yeah, we're new to the area. We haven't really found a church yet. Yeah, we haven't been to church in a long time. Yeah, we don't really go to church. That is your cue right in that instant to say, really? You don't have a church? I do. You should come with me. It's so simple. When you hear someone say, yeah, I'm not in church, that's your cue. They say the word church, they're asking for it. They are. Number two, not going well. Yeah. Whew, this parenting thing, it's just not going well. Yeah, my new business is not going well. And my marriage, it's not going well. And my son's struggling in school, it's not going well. When you hear that, not going well, hey, really? Well, hey, you know, my church, I think, you know, we have people who have literally gone through anything you can imagine at our church. That's the blessing of a church this size. There's no one you know with a struggle that we don't have here that's on the other side of it. And we compare them. Someone going through the heartbreak of divorce. You mean people we have here on the other side of divorce who are thriving in Jesus? Loss. Sickness. We have people here on the other side. We want to connect them to your friends, your family members, your neighbors, and your coworkers who are hurting so that they can see a picture of, okay, this is how we get through this. This is what happened. That's the job of the church. So not in church, not going well. not prepared for. Man, we were just not prepared for the toddler years. No one is. We were not prepared for middle school. No one is. We were not prepared for this new move. We were not prepared for this promotion at work has put strain. We just weren't prepared. That's your cue. Because they're being vulnerable with you. They're sharing with you. They're sharing, we need help. And if we believe we bring because that's what's best, then the most loving thing we can do for that person is connect them to a community of faith. Help them find their seat at God's table so that they can begin to receive the help he has designed for them to have. And it's really simple. When you hear any of these three little knots, here's what I want you to say, okay? Really? Like, don't be too excited about it. Well, you should come with me to my church this Sunday. Here's what I want to do. I want us to all say it together. All right? All right? We're going to really hit. We'll do it a couple times. We're going to really hit really. Then we're going to just say the whole thing. Ready? Ready? One, two, three. Really? Well, you should come with me to my church this Sunday. Look at you. Look at you. You did it. Well, I don't have to do it again. You nailed it. Again, temper the really, okay? Yeah, our marriage isn't going well. Really? No. No, no, no. Got to have some tone here. Really? Well, you should come. You can, you know, meet the moment, people. Come on, be humans. But seriously, that little change. So you have no idea what God can do in that moment. Because here's what I know, having done this as long as I have. God works in mysterious ways. Do you know the blessing I have of getting to do what I do for a living? Because here's what I do. I pray, I prepare, I say the words I believe God wants me to say. My responsibility for those words stops right here. And it's fantastic. Because between here and there, the Holy Spirit jumps in, and I can't tell you the number of times people will come up to me in that lobby and thank me for saying something I did not say. But somewhere between my mouth and their ears, God's Holy Spirit intervened and said, I got to fix that, and change their life. And I go home every Sunday, and I'm like, God, I love what I get to do for a living. Thank you so much. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit is right there. See, that same Holy Spirit is at work when that person tells you they're not in church or things aren't going well or they weren't prepared for. And that same Holy Spirit is there when you say, well, hey, really, would you want to come with me to my church this Sunday? Doesn't matter what series. Doesn't matter beginning or end. Doesn't matter who's teaching. That doesn't matter. The matter is, if you have an opportunity to invite, if you have an opportunity to bring where you know Jesus is, where you know there's a body of people who are doing everything in their power to create the best picture possible of their Savior, who's going to present a picture that is kind and loving and welcoming and inviting, that's literally going to pull the chair out and welcome and say, please, have a seat. We have planned today for you. Why would we not do everything we can? When we hear someone tell us they're hurting, why would we not try to connect them with the love for those of us that consider ourselves Christians that's changing our life? So here's the question, and we're done. Sunday called You Good? You know why we're doing this series? Because no one is. That's why the tag is Life Can Hurt, God Can Help. After the the last few years we've all been through, what most of us are discovering is what we longed for 2 years was getting back to normal. We got back to normal, but it didn't get better. And now we don't know what to do. Good news, God does. And so if you know anybody, if anybody pops in your mind that might benefit from a church created for them, spending 4 weeks explaining how the God of the universe can help them get their lives back on track, bring them next Sunday. Invite them to sit with you. Because once upon a time, there was a chair with your name on it. And you found it. And it changed your life. And so now, it's our calling. It's our honor. It's our privilege to help other people find theirs. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we love you so much. God, we're just so thankful that you invited us to have a seat at your table. And we're so thankful that there was a chair with our name on it before we were even looking for it. God, we thank you for how you pursue us, for how you love us. And Father, we are so honored that you invite us to play a role in your story. So Jesus, convince us today that we bring because that's what's best. Help us see the hurt in the people around us. And Father, give us a conviction to do what it takes to bring them to the source of help, to the source of life. May it be a wellspring of life in them. We love you, Father. We ask you to give us wisdom this week. We ask you to give us courage. We ask you to go before us to prepare the hearts of those we're going to invite, those we're going to bring. Father, we pray for unbelievable life change beginning next week. As men and women, sons and daughters, find their seat. They begin to test out the waters of faith. And they discover, as so many of us have, that you really are good. That you really can be trusted. That we really can build our lives on you. God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for allowing us to participate in your story. Father, we truly are rescued people who seek to rescue people. God, give us opportunities to invite this week. And we thank you in advance for the results. We love you. We thank you. In your son's name we pray.